Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm sitting here with a hot pack on my eyes. I got a bacterial infection in my eyes.
Oh, no.
I only get weird things.
Well, I don't know. In your area, I get it every time I come there. So what can I say?
This is the first time I've ever had one, and I'm, as you know, I'm 75, so...
Well, my eyes, nose, and throat feel it when I go to different areas is what I find, so...
Wow. And you go to different areas a lot.
Yep. In Phoenix, it's dry, so we use nasal drops, so... Forgot them, so I had to pick them up. You know, just routine things.
Well, thanks to Nican, I have been 40 years on allergy pills, and I'm off of allergy pills. I haven't been on them for 14 years, and I've been on them for 40. And sinus problems, no sinus problems, nothing. The only thing is, if I have any problem, it's too dry.
Yes. Well, yeah, you know, I forget about those because I take it for granted. All the things that I would deal with that I would have to really take something for or do something about or that was really annoying, like being totally stuffed up in the morning so I couldn't breathe, you know, that's gone. The pillow takes care of that. But, see, I forget about those things, and the other things I don't think about because they're just kind of routine little trivials. That are, you know, not because my body's not functioning right. It's telling me that there's something different about what I'm doing. You know? It's functioning properly, as Jeannie is saying. So, yes. That's what a sneeze is. It's functioning properly, you know. Clean out those little nasal hairs that... You know, so, yeah. Who else is on with us? I know there's a couple of other people, at least.
Veronica from Toronto.
Well, good morning, Veronica. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Are you headed to the convention this week?
Yes.
Good. Well, I hope I get to meet you. Please, let's try and cross paths. I mean,
okay. At
some point, I don't know exactly how to do that. It's too early in the morning here, but...
We'll figure something out.
Yeah, there you go. Do you have any comments or questions from the weekend or any other time?
No, I enjoy the calls, and actually, you know, I try to implement some of what I've learned, and it's really beneficial, especially for my husband. He was a big meat eater, and since reading the China study, at home, we really don't prepare any meat, but sometimes when he goes out, if he's invited out, he would have some. But he's really working on himself in regards to diet, and he really enjoyed the China study, so he's working on that a lot.
Great. That's super. Well, it sounds like you guys are doing an incredible job because, you know, the guys tend to, sometimes do things a little bit different, and this is one of them that I found that is pretty standard to be that way. I mean, there's a few exceptions I know, but for the most part, when the guys are out, they do something a little different than I would do and most of the women do. We maybe just look at it and we go, yeah, no, I'll figure out something else.
Yeah.
Other than not being rude. I mean, not to be rude. I don't mean that at somebody's house. And have a small amount of, but when we're out, I know, just don't think about it, just look a little harder for the exception.
Yes.
The other thing to replace it.
Yes.
But, you know, it's still incredible. It's an incredible move towards better health. That's the main point.
Yeah.
This
was the first time in about 50 years he didn't have turkey at Thanksgiving. You know, so, but he wasn't missing it because we had fun stuff and he enjoyed what we had for supper.
Well, we had an incredible dish over the weekend. Syrian, or is it Lebanese? Lebanese. I think it's what my cookbook said when I looked it up. A Lebanese dish called kebbeh. And it was a meat dish without the meat. And what was used, what Jeannie used for the base to replace the meat was the pecan mushroom burgers.
Recipe. Okay.
And I was thumbing through a recipe book yesterday, cookbook, in the, I guess it was Borders. And for some reason, it was a vegan cookbook, of course, or vegetarian, one or the other. And for some reason, the recipe that popped up on the page was the one that we've all been making. That's the pecan
mushroom?
On mushroom burger recipe. And I glanced down on, looked at it, it was exactly the same thing that we've been using. So maybe that's where it originally came from, or maybe she got it and put it in her book. Who knows? From someplace. But anyway, that was what Jeannie used to make in this traditional kibbeh recipe that she has made for years and was in Rick's family, I guess, right, Jeannie? Yeah. So anyway, one of these days when we get it all figured out, because I think they do a few substitutions here, there, and you know, differences with based on what they've got at the time that they're working with, or amounts, whatever, we'll have to put that on paper and send it down.
Right.
Anybody else that's on here that would like to say hi this morning?
Shaw, this is Maddie Dash. How are you?
Good morning, Maddie. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, in talking about the substitution for the meat versus the pecan burgers, I was looking in, I guess it's Student Go Vegan, and they have there's a couple of recipes in there where they use the veggie burgers. You know those frozen ones we buy over at Costco?
Uh-huh.
Or something or other from California. And I was, as you were talking, I was wondering if we could substitute a whole lot of the meat things for those types of things, you know, like the veggie burgers and things like that. Because one of the ones I was looking at in the book was called Lickety Split Burger Hash. And they said in there you can two veggie burger patties. So it got me to thinking, maybe a lot of the dishes that we see, instead of using the meat so much, or the burger meat or whatever, maybe we could change all of those recipes to the veggie burger patties, you know? They usually chopped or thawed and,
You can, but what we find is we use the pre-made ones for the emergency rations, kind of like what I do the canned beans for, because there's a huge difference in flavor, but also there's a difference in the fact that it's been processed, and there's a huge difference between the burgers. Okay, we go into Subway if we're in an emergency, and we have the burger that they have. Well, I know their ingredients aren't as clean as the way we normally eat, but at least it's a replacement, and it is a very quick, easy meal, and it is extremely tasty with all the raw, fresh vegetables. Okay, then your next level would be to have a burger at home from a pre-made meat patty. Most of the prepaid meat patties still aren't anywhere near what we would do when we're putting our ingredients together, right, Jeannie?
Right.
Most of them. Now, you've got one that is
Dr. Prager's.
Dr. Prager.
That's the one, right, that's the one I have. Mm-hmm.
And she uses that when she eats away from home. I don't know how much of the time you have it regularly at home.
Maybe on the weekends.
Okay.
But not every weekend, but most weekends.
But you're away from home when you're doing that.
Yeah,
see, that's her.
They don't do it at home.
She said they don't do it at home very much. Because once you get started with this, it's not that difficult to put a few fresh ingredients together, like the fresh mushrooms, the fresh veggies that go in it. It, you know, it takes a little bit of time, but you're still getting, and I know when we started doing those mushroom, pecan mushroom burgers going around, everybody, it seemed like, was needing to try them and do them, and then that got me into two or three other burgers that I was doing too that were also very good and worked out wonderfully well for doing different, you know, dishes. And that's where Jeannie ended up last night, and it was just that same mix, that same recipe, layered with a filling in the center of it. So it's just moving things around, but you're right, you can use those. The only thing, you know, and you're doing incredibly well because where you were with what you were doing and the amount of time you were spending in the kitchen, it was probably very little, right, Maddie?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so I think you're doing incredibly great. I just put in the back of everybody's mind is as much as you can when you're at home, and especially for some of us that are not, you know, working outside the home where we have this schedule, that we have to be, you know, out of the house. The young lady with the that lives with us with the type 1 diabetic son, she has to be out of the house by, about 6:10 in the morning. She has to be out of the house with him, with his shots taken care of, his lunch packed, all of that stuff. So for her to do the kind of cooking that I do is just not a possibility. She doesn't get home most evenings until 8, 9 o'clock at night. So, and she's still got her son to tend to, both before and after she leaves, plus during the day with calls at work and everything else. I mean, you know, her routine can't be anywhere near like mine can be. And so her whole way of eating and everything else is totally different. Although she's incorporated a lot already.
And have you introduced her to Nikan, Shar?
Oh, she's got a wellness home, of course, yeah. She's got a wellness home, but I'm just saying the food part of it, she does not have the kind of time I do. I'm at home, and I have the flexibility in my schedule because I'm not working, you know, and putting in 80 hours a week minimum away from home and having a type 1 diabetic son that's got to be checked on every meal and every snack by me over the telephone if he's outside my care.
Well, I was talking about the business aspect, and she does, since she's such a busy, 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 has no time person.
Yes, she is working on the Nikan too. It's got to be fit into that time schedule now because that's their only livelihood. So, you know, that's just another piece of the pie that she is incorporating. And so food is as far down the line as she can possibly make it, but still understanding that she has made the modifications. Her son is off of dairy. He is using soy milk instead and other, you know, other milks instead of that, which is a major, major contributing factor to, you know, the level of health he'll have long term. So she's gone through a fair amount of that material, and she is on the calls as far as the business is concerned and on the internet stuff that she's doing whenever she can, you know, squeeze in a few minutes, which is usually on the weekend, the majority of it, and, you know, and evening. Sometimes she just does some major, major adjustments. Anyway, but no, great question, and yes, use some modifications there and then, you know, try a recipe that will replace it in another way. We had, pronounce that one we had last night, Jeannie. I don't do good on that one.
Jethara.
Did you guys hear that?
It's Jethara, J-E-D-A-R-A, and you roll the R, Jethara. In Jethara. Anyway, it's lentils and rice with caramelized onions.
And it was very good, and that was, that was a tossed salad, that was a full meal. And they put that together really fast.
Pretty quick.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, just the cooking process. Rick chopped up the onions in a whizzer deal that he demonstrates, and like a salsa maker, and they threw them in the pan with, caramelized those, and then, which just means they browned them in some veggie broth, and then they went in and she started the rice first and then put the, you did the rice first and then did you do the onions with the rice at the first, or did you?
You cooked the onions separately.
Right, I did that part.
For a long time until they caramelized. And then I put them in like the last 15 minutes after I put the rice and the
lentils in. Okay, so it goes rice first, halfway cook the rice, and then...
Because I use brown.
Because you use the brown rice, and then you did the, after it was half cooked, you threw the lentils in.
And add more water.
And add
or
the,
broth, whichever.
And then the onions went in closer towards the end.
Yeah, and then cumin. You can put whatever spices you like. I use Italian seasoning, cumin, salt and pepper.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
And that was it with the tossed salad.
And they usually drizzle a little olive oil into it, and I did not do that part.
Okay, so that's an easy, and that comes from, is that Lebanese too or Syrian?
Yeah, I would say Mediterranean. It's in the Lebanese cookbook, though. But Ricky's mom always made it. So it's got to be Lebanese, Armenian, Mediterranean.
And Rick made a dish. He's tied up for this moment, but he'll be free in a second. He made a dish that was incredible.
So what was the name of that squash you made last week, the different name that I'd never heard of?
Delicata. I get my tongue wrapped around.
Delicata.
D-E-L-I.
Like deli?
Yeah.
C-A-T-A.
Thank you.
Yeah, kind of a yellow color with stripes, green stripes down it, and most of them were elongated, very kind of oval, the shape of a spaghetti squash, but way smaller.
Okay.
More smooth around.
They had like ridges, a ripple look to them, not just a flat round like a spaghetti squash.
So the ripple's like an acorn.
Right. Yeah, not that deep.
Okay.
But they were, it was good. Jenny isn't into the variety of squashes by any means. Let's see, I can get by with spaghetti squash with a marinara sauce on it, but he's just not the squash eater that I am. In fact, he never even liked sweet potatoes or yams.
Mm.
Now he's just kind of not. Rick's got one over here that was really good that he put together quite simply also. I'll let him tell that one.
So this could be just baked, and you do not eat the outside, correct?
Right, you do not. You haul it out just like you would a acorn squash.
But you could just bake it and eat it that way?
Ours was baked, yeah. Okay. But you could bake it, you know, without a stuffing, too, yeah.
Okay.
This is Rick. I made spaghetti bolognese the other day. Whole wheat spaghetti noodles with, it was a vegetable... It was a veggie Italian sausage, and it came in a tube. Of course, it wasn't meat, you know. And you fry that up, and then I took a couple of cans of, about maybe three cans of diced tomatoes with some garlic and spices, and threw that stuff in there, that Italian sausage. Looked like sausage anyways. But I could have added mushrooms and olives, and the next time I make it in Florida, I'll throw in some olives and mushrooms. But basically, it was that over the whole wheat noodles, and with the salad, piece of bread, and you got a nice Italian meal.
And we were commenting on the same thing, Rick. I know you didn't hear us because you were outside, but we were commenting on the same thing, that it's okay to use those meat substitutes
once
occasionally.
In a while.
Yeah, once in a while. And he had said that, and we're going to be doing it because... We're going to be away from home. We're going to be down after the convention for a few days in a timeshare. Well, they don't have all the stuff that I'm used to working with at home, nor do we want to drag it all down there or spend our time looking for it. So we're going to shortcut some things. Those are the kind of times that we work into, you know, especially after we've tried it and we know we like it.
Yeah, and in this case, for us, we were busy all day, and we didn't have time to really cook anything and prepare anything. And it didn't take very long to make, and it was, plus, I had the hunger pains for spaghetti bolognese, which is one of my favorite foods. So with that mock meat, or whatever it's called, it really worked out. I learned that from my friend in Oregon, who's a vegetarian. He uses that stuff a lot for his kids, so It's okay once in a while.
Yeah. I mean, it tastes great. You know, it's not a matter that it's a situation where it's going to not hit people's taste buds.
No, it was good, I was surprised Denny and Shara had second helpings, which you don't really see very often.
That was dessert. Denny says, so what's for dessert? And I said, a second helping.
You just had it.
Usually Denny's done after the first time, but and Char, too. You very rarely see Char go for seconds. But then, of course, it tasted better the next day. I had the rest of it for lunch.
I didn't get any of that. The leftovers are always great. I mean, you know, just don't make enough for just one meal, even when you're trying it. You know, if it doesn't turn out the way you guys like it, don't dump it, for Pete's sake. Just add to it. You may double the volume in doing so. I had a container of soup that was way too hot. Denny could not handle it at all, and it was hot for me. Well, instead of saying, this is just too hot for us to eat, I've got to get rid of it, no, I added to it the next night, or a couple nights later, it was still too hot, so I added even more. So every night that we ate it, we had another whole meal, day's worth of food that left, because I had to add more to that also. So it's, you know, it's really fun. And talking, Rick just used the word mock meat, M-O-C-K, mock meat. I had to go pick up a cookbook because I was not sure, and I had not copied down my butter recipes. So I'm going to give it to you guys one more time because this is a favorite, and do much of anything for breakfast other than cereal. We get used to having toast with a little bit of moisture on it. We can use nut butters, and that's one that I normally use at home. I don't put butter on toast. Some people still will, some form of it. But I'm going to just read this one off to you because I did go get the cookbook, and I amazed myself because I had everything on there. There was only one ingredient I didn't have the exact amount on, and that was what's used to thicken it a little bit. And I had decided I'm going to try something different, but I'm going to give it to you the way it is. This is the one that comes from the Everyday Vegan. And I found out that there are two Everyday Vegan cookbooks by different authors. This is Jeannie Rose Atchison, A-T-C-H-I-S-O-N. And Jeannie is spelled J-E-A-N-I hyphen Rose Atchison. Jeannie Rose Atchison, Everyday Vegan. 300 recipes for healthful eating. In here, I noticed last night as I was thumbing through it, they have like mock chicken recipes, mock different meat recipes. They've got lots of things that they are using to replace traditional things that would be in a non-plant-based diet. I also came up with, I've used two or three, they got pages of sandwich suggestions and things like that, just combining them without even, you know, recipes, just a list.
Char, before you give that recipe, I'm going to have to leave. It's at 10:30. But can you use the seitan, and that chicken seitan and the beef seitan in the same way as you use?
Seitan, yeah,
seitan. Oh, seitan. You can use that. Can you use that in the same way?
Yes. And you definitely can, just like that, and the tempeh is the same thing. And you can also do the tofu and do different things with the tofu. Okay, the butter recipe is 1/2 cup of water and 1 small carrot. And what I use is those baby carrots. I use 2 little skinny thin ones. Go ahead and get it and just punch it and say hi. Okay, you blend those together in the blender. Process them in water until they're smooth. And then you add in 2 tablespoons of powdered soy milk and blend it again. Now, I'm going to try something else. I'm not going to give you that for that one. But you can get that in the health food store the same way, powdered soy milk. Or they may, I don't know that they have any other powdered milk. I've never seen it. Then you put in 1 teaspoon of salt. That's blended in with the soy milk, powdered soy milk, and the 1 teaspoon of salt. At first I thought that was going to be way too much. It's not. It was just the perfect amount. And then you add flaxseed oil, olive oil or hemp in the amount of 1/2 cup. And you do that along with with 1 tablespoon of lecithin granules. That's again at the health food store. They usually come in a package. Once in a while I found them in the bulk. They're very gold and they get sticky. They're very yellow. They get sticky after they set a while. Don't worry about them. They're still good. 1 tablespoon of lecithin granules and the 1/2 cup of either flax, hemp, or olive oil. I've used all three oils. Make it a mild, not a deep olive oil. It needs to be lighter. And you add the oil very, very slowly in the top of the blender while it's running. It's the same idea as when you make mayonnaise. Just drizzle it in very slowly. This is going to be the longest part, but you've only got a 1/2 cup to get in there. And then when that's all blended, then you add a 1/2 cup of coconut oil and blend just until thickened. Now pour it in a container, set it in the refrigerator, keep refrigerated, and it is perfect spreadability directly out of the refrigerator on that recipe. And I've done it at least 3 or 4 times at home. I'm going to say probably 3 times at home. And anyway, that came out of Everyday Vegan Cookbook. So,
what's it called? What is it called?
Butter.
Oh, and could you just run through it once more quickly, please?
Sure can. 1/2 cup of water and 1 very small carrot or 2 of the tiny bite-sized carrots. That is just for color, the main purpose of it is for color. It will come out. You adjust the amount of carrot the second time by how deep you got the color or pale you had it the first time. I had it very, very deep in color because I had too much carrot. So I'm emphasizing that. Then 2 tablespoons of powdered soy milk and 1 teaspoon of salt go in, blend well. First, carrot and water just blend it till smooth in the blender. Then you drizzle in 1/2 cup of flaxseed, hemp, or light olive oil, along with 1 tablespoon of lecithin granules. And then you add the 1/2 cup of coconut oil. Now, the coconut oil will be solid up to temperature of 77, and then it turns liquid. It really doesn't matter what condition. You don't have to melt it down to add it in, as long as you can measure it. But it is solid. It looks just like shortening, which is gross to me at this point anymore. But get past the look. Know that it's not shortening. And it is one of the oils that's much better for you, even though it's a saturated oil. It has a different response on the body. Put it in the refrigerator, let it set up, and it will not be like coconut oil, digging it out of the container solid. It will be very, very light and very easy to spread right out of the refrigerator. So ours is always kept in the refrigerator.
Am I correct that you cannot do this in the bullet?
If that would be correct, because there's no way of drizzling it in.
And if you blend a carrot with the water, the carrot is actually going to break up in a blender?
It is going to be just totally liquefied. You'll just have to run it a little longer and
okay,
a little higher speed.
Do you cut it up at all, or just put the whole thing?
Well, these tiny ones that I'm using are only probably not even a 1/2 inch around.
And you put the whole little one in?
Yeah, I've thrown the little, if they're really skinny, if they're not, I split them and drop them in just to
okay,
get them that much faster, you know, just go by the size of what you're using. Or if you're using a chunk off of a bigger one, just, you know, cut it and quarter-inch strips and drop it in.
Okay, how long will this hold up?
Oh, I've had it in my refrigerator. Let's see, what do they say here? Oh, they don't even say how long. I've had it in my refrigerator for probably that much will last us 3, maybe 4 weeks if I keep it away from Denny. Only if I can hide it from Denny will it last that long, because he absolutely loves it. I mean, he would use as much of that as he would of butter, which, you know, by the way we eat now, way overused butter before, because it had to be on everything. It had to be under peanut butter. It had to be under jam. You know, I don't go that way. He might think a little bit of it that way, but I don't go that way. I haven't for
I couldn't write it down. When you get back, would you send that down?
I'm actually going to try and do it before I get back because I was so irritated that I had to go find this other cookbook so I could do it while I was gone because I didn't have it written myself. So I will definitely make sure that one comes down.
Oh, that would be great because I couldn't write right now.
Okay, and you know you can always go back, and I'll make this announcement so the rest of you have it too, is you can go back to lifestylesupport.org, another website, in other words, the website, lifestylesupport.org, and our daily calls are recorded, so it would be Monday is what today, the 20th?
Yep.
I think. Yeah. 20th?
Yes.
It's the 20th, and at the same time, I'm going to give the phone number for our call is at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, Monday through Friday. Advanced Lifestyle Call takes place on 319-279-1000, and the PIN code is 777-477-POUND. So, for those that get in on the website before they get in on the call, that's where they can find us. And this is a Advanced Lifestyle, just winding down here to the very tail end of the call. And the reason for the call that didn't get put in at the beginning is that we discovered a healthier way of eating. Instead of the traditional American sad diet, we are creating a healthier situation and environment for our body by feeding it in the way that it should be, that hole in our face that keeps us alive with water, air, and food. We've changed the way the food is going in and what types of food that are going in. Comes from a study that's written in a book called The China Study by Dr. Colin Campbell, the largest nutritional study ever done in the history of the world, over 880 million citizens of China were studied because the premier of China was dying with cancer and he wanted to know how to help his fellow citizens. And from that, the common denominator of all the diseases that they were dealing with in a very minute relationship percentage-wise to the way we are dealing with those same diseases in this country came as a way of totally in relationship to the amount of animal product that were in those people's diet. There was no way of disproving what they found. And when Dr. Colin Campbell came by the information, he started studying it not only from there, but studies done around the world for literally centuries, information that was fed in. Then he came back to the United States and set up more studies that were done for a period of, I think it was like 11 years or 17, I can't remember how, something like that. A lengthy period of time actually had funding for it, which would never happen now because of the politics of knowing. And if you listen to the commercials, you will hear commercials that are fighting to hold their place in the processed food world, like the one that just drove me crazy was, why not? The gal's got a popsicle she's eating on the lawn, like someplace, and her boyfriend or date is sitting watching her, and she offers one to him, and he says, "No thanks." He says, "That's got corn syrup in it." And she looks at him and she says, "Corn syrup? And what's wrong with corn syrup?" And he stutters and stammers a bit. She says, "It's just made from corn. Why would you have the impression that there could be something wrong with it?" And she goes into this dissertation. Now, if the word is not getting out about processed ingredients, and high fructose corn syrup is on the very negative list for us, that is in and hidden in many, many, many things, why would they be advertising it that way if the word is not getting out? Am I right, guys?
Yeah.
I think I'm right, because there's no reason to run an ad like that to produce, you know, information that would take up time. Somebody's spending good money to have that ad running on TV. Has anybody else seen it, noticed it?
Not once.
Yeah, I was so amazed because our set is on at times when I'm in and out of the family room. I've heard it more than once. I've heard it several times. So anyway, we are making headway, guys. There is validity in what we're doing. That's why they're trying to counteract it. And we've just got a big job to do.
Speaking of a big job, I just wanted to bring this up from our newspaper yesterday in the forum section. The headline of one of the columns was, "Healthcare Crash Could Dwarf Wall Street Woes." And I just have two things from the article to read. Chronic disease, the primary driver of the looming healthcare crisis, is largely preventable. The CDC and prevention estimates that if people quit smoking, ate healthier diets, and exercised, 80% of heart disease, strokes, type 2 diabetes could be prevented, and 40% of all cancers could be prevented. In addition, a recent Trust for America's Health report found that by spending $10 per person each year on chronic disease prevention, we could save the nation more than $16 billion, that's B with a billion, annually within 5 years.
Wow.
Nancy, can you scan that and send it down? That is incredible. The title of the article again was?
Healthcare Crash Could Dwarf Wall Street Woes. It's written by a guy who is the Cuyahoga County, which is the Cleveland Health Commissioner. You can go online. I don't have a scanner. If somebody, I can fax it or mail it to somebody, but if you don't get it online, it's under. For more information, go to fightchronicdisease.org. I can fax it or mail it to somebody if they can scan it or whatever.
Fax it to Jeannie. Give her your number, Jeannie.
Is it the same phone number, Jeannie?
Yeah, 602-404-8560. You faxed something to me before, didn't you?
8560 is the last four digits.
Yeah, it's the same as your phone number, yes.
Okay. No, except the last four digits are different.
404, okay.
Yeah, 404-8560.
Yeah, I'll fax it to you. But I didn't go to the site that they said for more information online. I don't know whether it's the entire article there or what, but ignore the underlining that I did for my husband's benefit. But I thought, I mean, this one really just says, whoa.
The website again was Fight.
Fight Chronic Disease, all one word, .org.
Okay.
I'll fax it to you later, Jeannie.
Okay. Sometime today, because we're going to leave tomorrow if you can.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd love to take
a
copy
it,
of that and take it with me, because that is a huge topic getter right now.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Well, it starts out by saying that he was surprised. I assume it's a male, Terry, but it may not be. I was surprised and encouraged during Wednesday's presidential debate to hear public health messages from both candidates. They spoke of the importance of chronic disease prevention and the concern over the growing childhood obesity epidemic. And I just heard somebody say they called the epidemic of childhood obesity comparable to the polio epidemic.
Oh, yeah.
I would pipe and smoke it.
And the worst part about the difference is that it creeps up on people. Polio hits, and everybody knows it. It's like a car crash.
Yeah.
You know, where this is something that comes on very slow, and it's like they're slowly adding poison to the food that over a period of, you know, a year or 10 is going to kill the person.
Right. Just like our continuing getting older creeps up on us.
Right, exactly.
How did we get here so fast, whether it was obesity or older? Oh, my. Anyway, I'll do this.
Thank you.
Excellent article.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay.
It says our nation's healthcare system could be the next major institution to experience a financial crisis. Healthcare costs are growing faster than inflation and wages, even as our collective health status diminishes. So, yeah, interesting article.
Well, we're the pioneers in the field again, once again. So that's all we can say is that's the way it works. And we can voice it, and the beginning of that will multiply and have a ripple effect. So, guys, we have to run too. We know that you're as busy as we are. We're just cracking the whip to get everything done before we take off early tomorrow morning. So we will be saying goodbye for a few days, some of us, and we're leaving it in your hands to continue on, the ones that are at home. And we're sorry we're going to be missing part of it, but it's not going to be an option for us with the scheduling the company has done for us for several days here going. So we'll be back together as soon as we can make it happen. In the meantime, keep up the good work. Yeah, many people you can drip on and approach and feed some information that can literally, and not can, but will literally save their lives and give them a different quality of life and health for as long as they're here. So
have a safe trip and take in a lot of information for us.
We will do the very best job we possibly can on that subject.
I knew you would.
Thank you, guys, for your participation.
Thanks for a good call.
Bye now.
Bye.
Bye.